Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 54 for March 9th, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian website, anarchistnews.org. Editorial. Thoughts on language, PC, and otherwise. In this week's study group, we're reading Desert again. In response to one of the provocations that Desert provides, which is to narrow our focus to what we might actually be able to do, no longer guaranteeing failure by continuing to aim for change on a global scale, instead considering a more local impossible, one of the things that came up was the limitations of English, and the idea that changing the language to enable us to think differently and to have different kinds of relationships is one doable step toward a better world. This reminded me of someone on Anarchy 101 talking about changing the way he speaks to avoid the verb to be. Here is what he wrote. Quote, I recently learned about E-prime, short for English prime, a language identical to English with the exception that you cannot use the verb to be in all its potential forms, am, is, are, was, were, be, been, there, isn't, etc. Proponents suggest that, among other benefits, using E-prime leads to a reduction of absolutism and dogma. The concept intrigued me a lot, and as I experimented writing and speaking this way, not only did it help to clarify my thoughts, but I began to see more connections between this alternate language and anarchy. It also took a lot more effort than I thought it would, considering the absence of essentially only one word. I'd like to hear what others think about it, especially as it may relate to anarchy. I wrote all the above in E-prime, as far as I can tell. Unquote. I did not embrace this challenge at the time, probably because it feels hard enough for me to talk and write already, so adding another thing to keep in mind felt like too much. But the post on 101 was 4 years ago, and it keeps circling back around in my thoughts. Another, and far more common, dynamic around language and change is policing. People decide that something has to be said a certain way or can't be said a certain way and start trying to make sure that those around them follow that rule. I started down that road last week when I mentioned my distaste for people calling cops, a social role and general group of people for whom I have much distaste, by the name of pigs, an ecological niche and general group of mammals for which I have some fondness. Where is the line between saying I wish a word would be used differently and policing language? If we accept, as reasonably anarchist, the idea and behavior that the best we can really do is learn and practice our own lessons, and at most share with people the things that have worked for us, then we can avoid turning interesting practices into dogma. Then the vague line becomes the difference between reminding someone of something they have said they want to do differently, and having people remind us also, versus maintaining purity or just remembering to follow the rules. So if I wanted to end on a note of clarity, I would stop there. But I come back to the question of individual change as a response to Leviathan or Hellworld or whatever. It is the most concrete and immediate possibility, and, or but, it's also the most easily co-opted, as well as the least dramatic, and hence deeply unsatisfying on some level. It makes sense to me emotionally that people would try to mix the actual change we can do in our own lives with the taking a stand urge that encourages people to tell others that they're doing wrong, which again gets us where we are today, with folks monitoring others instead of themselves trying to be better, more interesting, more anarchic people. Not that they're necessarily mutually exclusive, just usually so. What's new this week? Solidarity with Russian anarchists, Action Week on March 11th, 2018. From Contra Info. Over the past weeks, there have been many A-News stories about the repression in Russia, presumably for the election in which Putin is pretty much guaranteed to win. Quote, President Putin personally gave the orders to deal with the protest speeches and organizers of unauthorized street actions on the speaking engagement of Collegium's Ministry of Internal Affairs, MIA. Our authorities are so unsure of themselves that they resort to the terror, abductions, and tortures, finding the threat in any street protest. At the same time, protest and maximum publicity of these events really can help to anarchists who are staying in prisons. There had not been any information about Penza anarchists, and this enabled FSS to put them to torture for a long time. St. Petersburg Prosecutor's Office was forced to check the statement of Viktor Filenkov's tortures only after the international campaign in February 2018. Remember that today's silence and inactivity doom us to tomorrow's arrests and abductions, unquote. So the call out is for actions during the week preceding the day of the election, starting on March 11th.
Weird Science, the shoddy condition of anarchist climate science, from Anonymous. This is a sort of anomalous request for conversation. Maybe it should have been in the forums instead of the story pages. About anarchist thinking about climate change that briefly references John Trudell and seems to be questioning a scientist, none of which apparently has much to do with anarchist thinking, except in the general skepticism of headlines. Quote, I myself wrote an article on the IPCC's fourth update for IAAS. They didn't publish it, which quoted Mike Davis's review that the IPCC report was understated, and precisely because of methane feedbacks. I also brought up problems with the peer review process in science journals. At any rate, things appear to be vastly more out of control than we're being told. There's a distinct possibility of a several degrees Celsius rise in global average temperature by 2021, beyond which life ceases to exist, unquote. So maybe the end of the human world after all.
Sydney, Australia, anarcho-queer banner action to commemorate hashtag 40 years of struggle. From Insurrection News, quote, on Sunday, the 4th of March, 2018, a group of queer anarchists undertook a small follow-up action as a continuation of our attempt to revolt against the vile homo-nationalist corporate spectacle of the annual Sydney New Mardi Gras Parade, unquote.
Anarchist Book Fairs in 2018, from Freedom News UK. A list of the planned and possible book fairs in Britain for 2018.
On History as Fabrication, by Anonymous, a blog post pondering Leviathan and history as a changing story and rationale. Quote, history gives the sense of decomposition being ahistorical. There has been no singular reason civilizations collapse. It's always a complex process. The collapse of capitalism, when and if it happens, seems likely to attain the same complexity. Unquote. The conflation of history and capitalism is a little confusing, and this seems more like notes than a fleshed-out thought. But that's what blogs are for.
Hamilton, Ungovernables and Yuppie Tears, a Saturday night on Lock Street. From North Shore Counter Info, periodically a story on A-News breaks the divide between us and normies, and this was one of those. Multiple angry, inarticulate, and stupid posts were deleted from this thread on a story about a prol stroll, during which some stuff got smashed. Quote, to all the undoubtedly sincere and principled anti-capitalists on the internet who wonder why the Starbucks didn't get smashed, but all the poor, sweet, small businesses did, it's only because it was just a bit too far north. My one regret from the evening. All my worst bosses have been small business owners. The problem isn't the size of the business, it's that the relationship is exploitative. When someone decides to be a capitalist, making money through their investments rather than through their labor, their position relative to changes in the city becomes fundamentally different, unquote.
I can shoot you in a kneecap. How Belarusian cops intimidate youth for alleged contact with anarchists. From promin.io/en. A first-person account of police terrorism and intimidation. Quote, for some time we stood in this pose and he tried to find out something. I vaguely remember what it was. Then we got into the car and drove 100 to 200 meters away. We stopped and they began to threaten me with my relative's dismissal from work and to apply other psychological pressure. Alexander Nikolaevich took me out of the car and said he wanted to talk to me, quote, honestly. He told me that I'm a normal guy and he does not want to make normal people suffer because of the anarchists. Then they asked me to leak information to them, unquote. This article theorizes that the Belarusian cops have been inspired by the methods of the Russian ones. State powers do learn from each other. This story offers some contact info for people who would be interested to hear what you think about this cop behavior.
Athens, Greece, responsibility claim from Revolutionary Armed Forces for the grenade attack against Kaisarianni police station. From Insurrection News, quote, we claim responsibility for the grenade attack against Kaisarianni police station at dawn on Monday, February 26th, as a direct and first response to the unprecedented and violent kidnapping and transfer of Comrade Konstantinos Jagzoglu from Korydallos prison to Larissa prison while he was already on a hunger strike since February 21st in order to break his morale. This attempt by the state failed after the Comrade escalated to a thirst strike on Sunday, February 25th, unquote. This was the last announcement of a solidarity action before Dinas's demand was met.
Anarchist Communist Group launches first public event from Freedom News UK. In case last week's announcement of this new anarcho-commie group didn't excite you enough, now we have this news of a meeting that will focus on campaigns against universal credit, land justice, and initiatives to organize workers in West London. Quote, the ACG, which was formed following a split in the Anarchist Federation late last year, has formed branches in London, Leicester, and Surrey. Organizers have stressed that it does not intend to be oppositional or sectarian toward the AF, and there are plans to join the IAF, an anarchist communist international grouping which the Anarchist Federation also belongs to, unquote.
Greece. Anarchist comrade Konstantinos Yavtsoglou ends hunger strike after winning transfer to Korydallos prison from Act for Freedom Now. It's all in the title. Last week was full of stories of this hunger strike and the actions in support of his demand to stay within reach of his community. It worked. Quote, there is no doubt that the offensive actions of solidarity carried out by comrades in Greece, both inside and outside the prisons, was an element of important pressure for the decision that was finally made in Dinas's favor, unquote.
New York City, a call for an anti-authoritarian contingent at women's strike. From It's Going Down, Thursday, March 8th is International Women's Day. This is a call for anti-authoritarians, and anarchists, to meet at Washington Square Park in New York City. By the time you hear this podcast, something will already have happened or not. As with most things IGD, this turns into a statement about fascism.
Rennes, France, incendiary sabotage against a construction site in their town for Bourges from Act for Freedom Now. A quick announcement of a prol stroll in France. Quote, great veneration against their urban projects that expel us and want us to leave their city. On the night of 28th to 29th January, we let out our rage against the elected officials, developers, and town planners. Rennes is full of ads at the moment for selling the latest project for Bourges Museum Project, where the town hall has destroyed everything, tries to chase away the inhabitants to finish developing a beautiful natural and urban park, unquote.
Calls for solidarity actions with Russian anarchists on March 18th. From autonomen.org. Another article on the really scary situation in Russia, encouraging people to do actions, this time on March 18th. Quote, we urgently and desperately call to all anarchists, leftists, anti-fascists, and democratic groups and communities all over the world to organize actions of protest and resistance of any kind against tortures and repressions in Russia by the embassies, consulates, and other official offices of Russian Federation in your countries, unquote.
How to change the course of human history, at least the part that's already happened, from Eurozine.com by David Graeber and David Wengro. On a meta level, this is a piece about two anthropologists positioning themselves in public discourse, as academics have to do. On another level, this is a really provocative and interesting poke at cultural myths of progress, including state formation, civilization, etc., that does what anthropology should do, which is to encourage us to consider other ways of living, other possibilities. It refutes the accepted story of how civilization and the state, or inequality, came to be, that anthropologists have been responsible for, or at least complicit with, up till now. It is also a reflection on the change in terminology to fighting inequality, rather than something more specific and containable. This is well worth reading in its entirety, but here is a teaser quotation. Quote, we must conclude that revolutionaries, for all their visionary ideals, have not tended to be particularly imaginative, especially when it comes to linking past, present, and future. Everyone keeps telling the same story. It's probably no coincidence that today, the most vital and creative revolutionary movements at the dawn of this new millennium, the Zapatistas of Chiapas and Kurds of Rojava being only the most obvious examples, are those that simultaneously root themselves in a deep traditional past. Instead of imagining some primordial utopia, they can draw on a more mixed and complicated narrative, unquote. Now, all that said, this is still Graeber plus one, and I still hate anthropology. But if you can't find some good science fiction, this is an excellent backup plan.
Pan-Balkan demonstration on internationalist solidarity from voidnetwork.gr. An announcement on some fascist activity in Greece. Quote, "The oppressed and exploited have nothing to divide among us. Our oppressors are the same, and they have the same names, regardless of their nationality. They are no others than the state and capital. We must, therefore, struggle together with the oppressed and the exploited of all countries in order to create a common front which will declare as loudly as possible that we will not allow the bosses to divide us on the basis of nationality, color, sexual orientation, sex, religion, or any other terms of segregation. A common front that is determined to fight for a stateless, classless, non-nationalist life." Unquote.
Paraguay, 1968, Dictatorship and Democracy, Terror, Politics, and the Lie of the Vote, from Anonymous by Elorante. A translation of an anti-voting pamphlet by an Argentinian in 1968. Quote, "Paraguay, a brutal, repressive dictatorship, was propped up by virtue of claiming to be a democracy, one where abstention from voting was illegal, punishable by fine or imprisonment, and where the various political parties agreed and acceded to the absolutely certain election of the dictator Alfredo Stroessner again and again and again for almost 35 years. It is this surreal mix of democracy and dictatorship, ballots and bullets, violence and voting that Duarte describes and criticizes so well," unquote. And the kind of complicated situation one could argue we're heading towards, but probably is closer to China at this point.
North Shore Info, new counter-info site for Southern Ontario. From north-shore.info, intended to be, quote, "a platform for publishing news, analysis, and events, as well as facilitating discussion and encouraging collaboration. We aspire to provide a space for strategic reflection, engaged critique, and thoughtful debate from an anarchist and anti-authoritarian perspective in Southern Ontario. In the spirit of overcoming isolation and creeping feelings of hopelessness, we want to build stronger regional networks by sharing resources, publicizing activities, and putting us in communication with each other," unquote. If they had just said creeping feelings of helplessness, I would have been a bit more excited. But I'm not in Southern Ontario, so it's not for me.
The main thing at that moment in that situation was to come out alive, from opendemocracy.net. Amidst the headlines about anti-Russian people being poisoned, shot, and disappeared, these stories about anarchists getting rounded up and tortured are even more disturbing than they would be otherwise. This is a long article with personal accounts of the experiences of some of the anarchists who have survived this recently. Quote, "By the morning, when the detainees had been brought to a central district police station, the FSB had started to threaten Semenov with torture. They brought in some kind of machine. They said it was a taser of some sort. They strapped me to a chair and said this was my last chance to write a confession, but I still didn't write it," Semenov says. He believes that it was the arrival of a lawyer that saved him. It is unclear what happened to the hitchhiker Maxim. Semenov says that he heard his cries in the FSB building, but after release has been unable to contact him," unquote. More motivation to participate in the days of action in March.
Chile, urgent. Anarchist compañera Tamara Sol has been transferred once again to the extermination center in Valdivia. From Insurrection News. Last month, Tamara tried to escape. The prisons are coming down on her now. Quote, "On February 28, 2018, the prison administration decided to transfer Tamara Sol from the maximum security prison where she had been held hostage since January 25th. Now the jailers decided to move compañera Sol, despite her having pending medical examinations in the Penal Hospital of Santiago, to the extermination center of Lancahui, located in Valdivia in southern Chile. The Lancahui Extermination Center is a private prison and in recent years has been recognized by the particular brutality of its internal regime, along with the beatings and torture carried out by its prison guards, many of whom have been televised and exposed to the public." Unquote. Write a prisoner today. Write tomorrow.
Italy. Update on Scriptamanet prisoners, March 2018, from anarchia.info. This is a call out for supporters to show up in the courtroom for these prisoners. Quote, "For all we know, Danilo, Alfredo, and Anna get their mail regularly. They're fine and in high spirit. Valentina is under house arrest with all the restrictions. She can meet just a few family members. Soon an email address will be available to ask for additional information about the case, unquote.
Berlin, Germany. A message to our unknown comrades in the urban jungle of prison society by violent minority cell FAI from Insurrection News. A communique on the burning of cars in Berlin that quotes many other communiques as a way to draw connections between the groups. Quote, every day we are told to remain silent, governed by the state and its institutions that secure the capitalist world. People fill their minds with stupid stuff, head down, staring on their smartphones, only to look away when an inspector is controlling tickets in the train, when a cop is telling a homeless person to go away where he just found a warm place, when German arms are murdering Kurdish people in Erdogan's genocidal war. For now, we targeted security companies, but any other company upholding the capitalist and authoritarian structures can be the target. Any night can be a night of attack, unquote.
Prosecutors say a woman who went undercover with an anarchist extremist group will testify at inauguration protest trials. From BuzzFeed News by Zoe Tillman. In the continuing saga of the J20 arrests, now we get news of an informant. Quote, prosecutors said in court papers filed March 2nd that the witness, referred to as Julie McMahon, is no longer working undercover. But they warned that revealing her identity could jeopardize ongoing covert operations and also put her security at risk. McMahon will testify about the use of the black bloc tactic during protests on January 20th, 2017, according to the government, unquote.
Hamilton, Ontario, the Tower's statement on recent events. From Anonymous. So, as part of some actions in Hamilton that we spoke of previously in this episode, some good citizens went and broke windows and kicked in a door at the local anarchist space. This is a statement from that space saying that they did not do the actions, but they support the actions. Quote, we feel that a single family being evicted is far worse than everything that happened on Lock Street, even if you believe that running luxury businesses is a neutral act. And the level of outrage is particularly despicable, considering that there have been two random stabbings of women in the last few days as well. It's beyond disgusting to see conversations about artisan donuts being prioritized over conversations about violence against women. This isn't just whataboutism, this is us picking sides. When shit goes down, we aren't on the side of the rich and business class. We're in solidarity with everyone who resists the dominant powers in the city, and we make any tactical criticisms we have privately. We oppose all repression and all collaboration with the police. Unquote.
Media. Negazine number 1, 2017. A new journal published by anarchists from Act for Freedom Now. A new paper insurrectionary anarchist publication from Elephant Editions. Quote, Negazine is not an easy read. On the contrary, reading it requires a certain level of effort and the will to put oneself on the line. And it couldn't be otherwise given the subjects it goes into. Negazine offers neither certain answers nor slogans to write on the next wall. The main theme, but not the only one, of this first issue is technology. The central point of the discussion is the difference between the various techniques, the single capitals and the techniques that they develop, often in conflict with each other, and technology as such, which is an anonymous process devoid of a center, a process that is continually eroding reality and replacing it with virtual pre-confectioned surrogates, unquote. Maybe this would have helped the tech series of The Brilliant. Someone get it and let us know.
Announcing publication of Conflictual Wisdom from It's Going Down. This is a 36-page PDF for reading and printing out, full of various anarchists' touching personal stories and reflections about how to age with anarchist friends, unfriends, goals, and desires. I haven't read it thoroughly yet, but what I've read, despite the quotations from Howard Zinn et al., seems entirely appropriate. Humble, confused, committed, determined. Some of my favorite characteristics. Quote, your letter was both incredibly inspiring and comforting to read, knowing that I was not the only one having these thoughts. Being that I constantly questioned the depth of my knowledge and perspective because I have only known about this world and this fight and been actively involved for a short time now, about a year. Compared to how long you have been fighting, to me that is nothing. I could never understand your highest points and what you felt at your lowest. Something that I can definitely understand, relate to, and have experience with is the euphoria of revolutionary work and the depression crash of reality. After the first few times this happened to me, I definitely began to see how it was unsustainable for me to live a consistently and sustainably happy life while doing this work when I looked at it from this perspective. Unquote.
Podcasts, Anarchy Radio, March 6th, 2018, an hour. This is a normal John Zerzan episode, only briefly relevant for his absolute dismissal of David Graeber's article, How to Change the Course of Human History, mentioned earlier in this podcast.
Free Radical Radio Modcasts, Episode 2, The Brilliant, 28 Minutes, the second Modcast. The video linked in this thread, also by Rydra, is funny, perhaps because it rests on good production values.
FRR Audiobooks, The Unique and Its Property, Translator's Introduction by Wolfie Landstriker, 32 Minutes. A reading of the introduction of the new translation by a good new reader for Free Radical Radio who seems to really enjoy reading this. This introduction is Wolfie explaining why he did this translation, contextualization of the text, some of what he thinks about Stirner, and some of the issues of translating a text. Nice.
Topic of the week, waking the dead. How do we mourn? Many anarchists reject the conventions of faith-based rituals. No gods, no masters, no religion seems to be the line most anarchists draw. We talk a good line of not falling into religion, but like so many other spooks, the stink of religion lingers when we look at how we treat the dead. Theoretically, anarchist rituals of grief, mourning, and memorializing would be radically different than those of the world we seek to destroy, but when we look at how anarchists remember our fallen, and the hagiography that is often connected with it, how different are we? Whether the Haymarket martyrs, Vanzetti and Sacco, Carlo Giuliani, Bill Rogers, Brad Will, or comrades killed in the Kurdish regions of Syria, it becomes pretty clear that at least for some of us, we haven't quite shaken that spook yet. If we do reject the sanctification of our fallen, admittedly this is a questionable if, how do we remember and grieve for the people we love and have lost? Are their grief processes entirely antithetical to anarchist praxis? How and who determines these lines in the sand? How does your process look different when it is someone you know personally, as opposed to a person who is already nothing more than an abstraction in your actual life? If, again, and this is up for discussion, we choose to embrace ritual as part of our mourning process, what does that look like? And where are the lines between honoring a comrade, beatifying a new anarcho-saint?
You know, I think in my own personal experience, I don't think anarchists are demonstrably different than other subcultures or the culture writ large. Prior to being an anarchist as a young punk, I had this really traumatic day happen where a close friend of mine was hit by a train. And the next day, you know, that person became everybody's best friend. And everybody was mourning as if they had lost the closest, you know, best person ever. And to the extent to which this criticism or statement is true, I think it's pointing to that same effect, which is that, you know, at least for a week or two, when someone passes, they do become larger than life. Because, you know, it's one of the few times where you really can view somebody in the best possible way. And I will say that I was very touched by, you know, even though I was very much an outsider to the ghost ship deaths that happened, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years now. But, you know, a couple anarchists died in that fire here in Oakland, California. And the people were doing rituals and were doing everything they could in these really public ways. And I guess for me, I guess the lesson for this is grief, like depression and despair, should be a public exercise. It should be one that you share with people. And I have no criticism of that.
It reminds me of Orson Scott Card's Speaker for the Dead. Mm-hmm. Where the funeral has a speaker who has done lots of research into the life of the dead person and tries to present a story, a narrative of the person's life that is honest, that isn't just all of the good or isn't just all of the bad, but, you know, this is the person they were, this is the impact they had on the world, these were the things that they did. And it's a huge responsibility. And that being that kind of public sharing, I appreciate. I've been to too many funerals that were... funerals, I think, are boring because they don't feel like they actually have any connection to the person who has died. Mm. And I think that's because they're usually partly about religion and partly about the people who are actually throwing the funeral. So there is, I was stunned by how personal and public some of the ghost ship stuff was. It had never occurred to me that one would mourn in public, but I agree. I think that there are some interesting lessons to learn there. And I think it's better than the Midwestern kind of flat Christian world that I come from, where death is either morose or glorified, but that glorification is just all about the fact that, you know, they've finally gone into God's kingdom. Which neither one of those are very appealing to me.
This does seem like a moment to reflect on a fundamental question about what's your definition of anarchism? Is anarchism merely a revolutionary politic that is sort of has built-in failure? Or is anarchism a subculture, a way in which people live their lives every day? And so to me, death, I think, you know, perhaps the effort that's made towards having anarchist martyrs, you know, beatified and whatnot, has a lot more to do with that revolutionary model. Whereas, you know, the ghost ship moment to me felt very much like this was people interacting with an intense experience. And yeah, you know, I think the death, maybe unlike other things in modern life, still has a public aspect to it. And yeah, I don't know. I think it is a worthy moment to reflect, though, on the fact that how it is that you think that we should sort of practice death does say a lot about what you think practicing anarchism in general looks like.
How so? I'm not sure I make that connection.
If you think that the effort towards proving the innocence of Sacco and Vanzetti is part of reclaiming their heritage, that would be the more political definition. If you think that anarchist activities should be annual activities around the death of our martyrs, if you think we should be celebrating Emma Goldman's birthday, you know, all of that would be more the sort of revolutionary political definition. Mm-hmm. Whereas the anarchist study group for a long time had a very old black diaper baby anarchist who came, whose name was Audrey, good friend. And her picture, it's sort of hidden, but it's actually hanging above the anarchist study group. And it's sort of one of the few rituals that we make is that anytime anyone refers to Audrey in the reading group, everyone sort of looks up at the picture. And that to me feels like a way in which, you know, rather than there being an Audrey Good Friend Day, instead there's this, you know, quiet, complicated relationship.
I don't think that anarchists have a very good sense of weaving history into our culture.
Most anarchists do nothing but history.
Or, well, I get, like, I don't, how do I mean this? What am I trying to say? There is something about, you know, celebrating Emma Goldman's birthday and making that a thing, that Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't have holidays. We have birthdays, basically.
Well, that's how we practice it. We as in our sort of small group of people.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of anarchists celebrate Jewish, like Passover, I see as a really common anarchist practice.
That's true.
You know, pretty much every anarchist I know does some version of Thanksgiving. Of course, they call it, you know,
Thanksgiving.
Or, you know, some indigenous people's meal or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still quite a few holidays that a lot of anarchists celebrate.
No, it's not about celebrating. It's about, like, Thanksgiving is a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the country celebrates it in some form or another. Anarchists don't have, like, we don't actually have our own holidays that are our holidays, is my point. That isn't a version of somebody else's. My point being that, you know, if Emma Goldman's birthday was a national anarchist holiday, then anarchists are all celebrating this thing at the same time. Even the same thing with Passover. Like, that's, you know, that's not an anarchist holiday. It's a Jewish holiday that anarchists mm-hmm. also celebrate. But, you know, the idea of culturally us having these things that are unique to us as a people.
And what would you celebrate if we were going to start, if we were going to make that argument, what would it be? My birthday is very close to Emma Goldman's.
It's true. Your birthday is very close to Emma Goldman's. I don't know. Sacco and Vanzetti is a good one to grab onto.
Why
is Sacco and Vanzetti a good one to grab onto?
Because we mostly know about them because they died.
It's true.
They didn't do something kick-ass or...
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good reminder of, you know, the will of the state of, you know, what the...
I know, but that's not an anarchist celebration. That's a statist celebration.
Well, okay.
The state can crush individuals. Woohoo! Get out the fucking hats!
I don't know. Plenty of anarchists tried to kill presidents and blow things up.
Sure.
And, to celebrate the times that those things actually succeeded.
Okay, which one? McKinley?
Or maybe, McKinley's probably a good place to start.
Or Novatore's gunfight with Caballero?
Well, that's a nice one, yeah. Or maybe we should also celebrate the times that they failed and then tried again.
Oh, the indomitable spirit.
The indomitable spirit, yeah. we have all these books about all these prisoners who made great escapes from prisons over and over again.
Sure.
Maybe you could have a holiday for each escape.
I mean, probably, okay.
More holidays is good, more than less.
Well, I think that the author of this topic of the week was probably reflecting on a current death in their life and in their, you know, sort of world.
Probably.
And so they're both sort of being critical of how anarchists tend to do this. But I'm not sure anyone does this well, and especially in sort of modern culture, society, what do you think you would like to see, perhaps when you die?
The only model I've ever had in my head that I thought was interesting was the old Irish version of awake, where people just show up and indulge and tell great stories about you and laugh a lot and. Or, you know, talk about what a shit you were and laugh a lot. And the old versions of it, the body's actually there in the room, which I don't need that part. I can put my ashes in an urn, I guess, if they want.
I mean, I recall the end of The Wire.
Oh, yes, the end of The Wire, right, right. Mm-hmm. And they did awake for McNulty, even though he wasn't dead.
And also Freeman.
And Freeman, yeah, exactly. It being a party, it being a celebration, it not being mournful, it not being sad, the inevitability of death, the sadness seems futile past a certain point. Yeah, what about you?
I haven't thought about it. It's hard. I think that perhaps I refuse death.
You refuse death?
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you and death can have that conversation then. Like in Sandman, where she comes and visits the guy every year who won't accept death.
Hmm. I don't know that mythology.
And it's a Neil Gaiman comic called The Sandman, and he's the Sandman, and death is his sister. And there's this person who very publicly proclaims that he like, you know, he will not meet death and death will not take him in. And in a way that she finds interesting. And so she leaves him alone. And every year the Sandman comes and visits him and sits down and has a conversation with him about his life. And he lives for several hundred years. I don't really remember how it ends, but.
I just remember the artwork.
Okay.
It's very watercolory.
It's very watercolory. It's true. Well, on that note, thank you.
Thank you very much.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel, written by Jackie, narrated by Chisel and a Friend. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material are available at littleblackheart.com. And for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org.